Let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 9. And we have been last week and this past week, we have been, or I should say this tonight, we have been in the trumpets and the seven trumpets. Last week, Lord willing, we, in chapter 8, we dwelt in the four trumpets, also known as the four sorrows. And one of the things that the Lord brought to mind again was about the sorrow. Well, we understand that there, during the tribulation time, there is going to be a great sorrow upon this world. There's things that are going to happen. We read about them again last week, and how terrible the bloody time that it will be. The more departing from the things of God, from the Word of God. How wormwood is the star that falls and poisons the waters and poisons the rivers. And we're already seeing this falling away from the things of God. We are seeing a rampant form of godliness that denies the power in many of the pulpits today. It's just happening. God said it would happen. Man would become vain in their own imagination. Man would become wise in his own deceit. Those are the things that would happen, and man would become more led by the devil, by the enemy, apart from the things of God. Unfortunately, as well as it's getting into Christianity, that philosophy. I was listening the other night again to someone, and God forbid, but it's just a tragedy what's going on in many of the Christian assembly pulpits as well too. However Christ is preached, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to rejoice. But anymore, there's very little of Christ being preached anymore. I heard a man talk about exercise and the benefit of fitness for over an hour on one of the major Christian broadcasts. And this was a sermon going out. I understand. Bodily exercise profits a little. Enough said. I think God told us about that. It's good to keep up your bodies, but I'm going to tell you, we need to get into the Word of God. And by His grace, that's what we're going to do. But we saw these sorrows, and I think one of the great sorrows that's going to be at this time is there's going to be people that are left behind. And people are going to be left behind that didn't realize that they were going to be left behind because they're not getting the truth. They're not getting the message that there is a bridal company that's being prepared that is going to meet the Lord in the air. And there is going to be a sorrowful time for Christians that are left. It's going to be a time of great sadness. It's going to be a time of knowing. I believe these Christians will know that there was a company of people that was translated. They were taken. They were taken before them. They were prepared and they were ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. And I'm going to tell you, that is going to be a time of sorrow. Those were the four sorrows that we talked about last week. Now, Lord willing, we're starting the woes, the trumpet woes, as that angel in the 13th verse of the 8th chapter, as he went across the sky, and obviously this is Christ calling. He says, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. There are three woes yet to come. There are three trumpets yet to sound. And these woes, obviously, that's the increasing despair, the increasing torment. Now, when we enter this woe period, first of all, the bride of Christ is already in heaven. The innumerable multitude will already be in heaven. The 144,000 will already be in heaven. But there will still be those souls that were under the altar. Those are still going to be there. There's still going to be a remnant of people that are getting saved, that love the Lord, that are still going to be in this time of this first woe or this fifth trumpet. Now, one of the things that God as well put on my heart is as we get into this fifth trumpet, we're going to start seeing a lot of different numbers, a lot of different dates, like months and days and all of these different things. And praise God, we have lived a life by His grace, by faith. And we have bridal faith by the grace of God that we are waiting, anticipating the time of Jesus' coming. But it's amazing as you start getting into this fifth trumpet, we are 250 days. At the sound of this fifth trumpet, we are 250 days before the middle of the week. Tribulation is a seven-year period of time. They call it the middle of the week. Well, one of the things that I always wondered is, I said, well, how do you figure out this is 250 days and it's 100 here? And why is God being so specific right now with these days? And why is He letting these people know at this time that there's 250 days before the middle of the week? Then there's going to be 100 days before the middle of the week at the sixth trumpet, and then the middle of the week happens. And the middle of the week is the start of the Great Tribulation, that last 3.5 year period of time. Now, there could be lots of reasons, but one of the greatest reasons is I just think the immeasurable grace of God. I think about how Jesus Christ, when He came, and He was with His wonderful disciples and the people that were looking to Him as Christ, said, "You are my Lord." He told them very specifically, I'm gonna have to die. I'm going to have to go to that cross. They knew it way back in the Old Testament. And they knew it was going to be 3 days, didn't they? And 3 nights, and He was going to rise again. Now, in their great torment and their great suffering, they kind of forgot about that, didn't they? And they were still surprised when He wasn't in the tomb. And I think we would have maybe been there with them too. But it just shows you He's still faithful, even though when we don't abide faithful. His word told Him He was coming back. His word told Him, "I'm going to rise again. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm coming." And He did. I think it's the same way in this. The Lord was speaking to my heart. These people are going to be left. These people are going to be in great despair. The bridal faith is over. That time is gone. But these folks are really going to need something to look to. Their faith is still going to be finished by the grace of God to what they believe the Lord too. But I'm going to tell you, they're going to be in such a time when they're going to be counting the days. I assure you they're going to be counting the days. "Lord, when are you going to get us out of here?" It's going to be a time when they're going to seek death and they're not going to find it. We're going to read in this fifth trumpet tonight that for 5 months they are tormented like with the sting of a scorpion. God allows that to happen. This is the last group of saints that are ever going to be taken up at this time. And that's the church basically seen in Thyatira. But at least there was still a remnant there that these people still love the Lord. But they're going to suffer much. All right? Now, one of the things I was talking to Polly about last night, as I said, you know, I was really looking at these days and these dates and all of these numbers that are starting to come up. And I said, "Well, Lord, if you said it, it's got to be important. If He said it, it's got to be important. If He put it in here, it's important for you to understand these things." Now, I want you to understand this first and foremost. You want to be ready? Be looking for His appearing. Love Him. Love Him, love Him, love Him. Don't get wrapped up in a sense of what you don't know. Because I'm going to tell you, that's a place, if you go there, you'll never get out. Because you'll figure out you don't know anything. And it's an ongoing process. But by the grace of God, God has given us teachers, and He's given us preachers, and He's given us the ones that He'll give these things to. And you search the Scriptures to see that they're so. But you know what? Relax. Rest in Him. I'm not trying to tell you to be complacent and lazy. Okay? But trust Him that He'll complete you. Love Him. He loves you. He wants all men to be saved, and He wants all men to come to a full knowledge of the truth. I know if you are willing to know, He will let you know. He'll reveal it to you, okay? So it's a state of the heart. But I do want to touch on this real quick. We know that by the grace of God, this tribulation is spoken of as a 7-year period of time. And I want you to think of 7 years as 360-day years, okay? And you might want to write some of this down. And I'm just praying real hard right now that the Lord just lets this be so simple, such a cookie on the shelf, even though this can be a little bit complicated. But we have a 7-year period of time, 360-day years, 84 months, okay? 7 years, 84 months, 2,520 days, all right? So, we find that there are actually 30 extra days in this tribulation time. And you say, "Well, no, wait a second. I thought we always said it was 7 years. Well, if you go to Daniel 12:11, and I don't want you to turn there. I want you just to write these things down. There's the preparing of the Passover, which is part of that. So you have to take the 2,520 days, which is 7 years, and add 30 days to it. So you'll have now 2,550 days. All right? Now, one of the wonderful things about the Word of God and how gracious God is to His people and how gracious God is to this world is that He said, unless those days be shortened, and that was in Matthew 24:22, unless those days be shortened, meaning the Great Tribulation days, the Armageddon time, and that era that we're about ready to face, unless those days be shortened, there would be no flesh left upon the earth. So He's telling us right there that tribulation time actually has to be shortened. Well, in Daniel chapter 8, verses 11 through 14, it actually explains to us and tells us very specifically in Numbers that the tribulation time will only be 2,300 days. Okay? And you say, okay, well, we had 2,550 days, which was the 7 years plus your 30 days. But God shortens those days to 2,300. So if you subtract the two, you have 250 days. So the tribulation period will be shortened by 250 days because God is so gracious that he still wants some flesh still to dwell upon the earth to go into the millennium. And we'll get to that as well, too, with the sheep and the goat nations. See, there's so much to talk about here. There's so many things and so many truths. But again, by the grace of God, we're going to go line upon line, precept upon precept. And I believe that we'll build that foundation to really understand and get into this. And remember, let go of your mind. Let God in, and let His mind be in you. And I'm going to tell you, then we'll understand it. All right. So we're 250 days short. What I want to bring out tonight is, how do we know that this fifth trumpet is at the 250 days prior to the middle of the week? All right. So again, we're 250 days short. And I don't want you to turn there, but in Revelation 13:5, actually, let's do turn to Revelation 13:5. And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. This is your Antichrist, okay? And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. 42 months is 3.5 years, okay? All right. The Antichrist, Armageddon, is all going to be wrapped up at that time of 250 days short of the 7 years. Because it just happens, the Antichrist and his false prophet will actually be thrown in the lake of fire at that time. All right? They get the first dip. Okay. They do. All right. And it's eternal. All right. So at 250 days short, you go back 3.5 years, which takes you back over the middle of the week by 250 days. Is that pretty simple? Do you see how that goes back over? So basically that we are 250 days prior to the middle of the week. One other reason that we know this is we'll see, turn with me to chapter 17, verse 8. And this will be just a little precursor of what we're going to read tonight. That's chapter 17, verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not. This is speaking of the Antichrist. The reason that he says that he was and is not is because he gets a lethal wound in the head and he dies. And he is brought back to life. And shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. And I want you to really remember that, because we're going to read tonight how when this star falls from heaven, which is the devil, he is given the key to the bottomless pit. And when he opens that bottomless pit, he has that key and he's got that allowance to bring this particular person back to life. So at the time of that bottomless pit being opened, that's when the life is instored back into this Antichrist, and that's when all power is given to him. So we know that this is when it starts, and this happened to start 250 days before the middle of the week. Okay? So it all fits together, and it's all a perfect number, and it's all a perfect plan. And a lot of people try to confuse things and try to pull things out or whatever, but you know what? God is perfect, and his pattern is perfect. And his numbers are absolutely perfect. And his way is absolutely perfect. And by the grace of God, I think we'll see this as this is laid out. So let's get into chapter 9 today. And Lord willing, we are now 250 days prior to the middle of the week. All right. And the fifth angel, and I think what we'll do here as well too is we'll just go verse by verse. So I think it's very straightforward, and by the grace of God, we'll go at it here. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven, a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now last week in verse 10 of chapter 8, we saw that this star fell. And again, as we've noticed in Revelation many times, the Lord will bring back the story again, bring back all the tribulation again, showing again the importance of these moments that John has seen. This is a very important moment because Satan will be cast completely out of heaven. Turn with me to chapter 12, verse 7. See, a lot of people said, well, I thought Satan was cast out a long time ago. Well, he was cast out in a certain way because he tried to magnify himself above God, and God had a plan to do with Satan anyways. But I want you to turn with me again to chapter 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels, the wonderful Michael the angel, fought against the dragon, that's the devil, and the dragon fought with his angels. See, and the dragon does have angels that went with him. And prevailed not, neither was there found any more in their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. You see, he is there even today making accusations. But there's somebody sitting at the very right hand of God that covered that a long time ago and said, it's finished. But do you see how bold this Satan is? Do you see how brash he is? Even though he knew that he had to try to keep Christ off that cross, tried to tempt him there in the wilderness, did everything he did, he's still up there trying to do the dirty work that all is all that he can do. Okay? So this is him right now. And the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. And that's the only way you will ever overcome Satan, is by the blood of the Lamb. All right? And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. See, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. And this time again that he's being cast out, there's three companies again, or actually four really, because you have the 24 elders, you have the four living ones, the bride of Christ, then you have the innumerable multitude and the 144,000, which are in heaven at this time. This is why you can rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell therein, and woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. Interesting that he uses the word woe there again, because we're talking about the three woes. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he hath but a short time. Now, he is the prince and the power of this air right now. We know that. We know that he is out there to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But he doesn't have a free reign right now. God has still got him. When he is cast out, God is really going to be hands off and just letting him go to town. He's even going to enable him to bring life back into someone that is dead, to create this Antichrist that the whole world will go after him. This is going to be an amazing time. This is exciting stuff. God is letting us know what's going to happen. I love it. But by the grace of God, this is the plan, and this is what this Satan is going to be allowed to do. So again, going back to the first verse, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star far from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now, wonderful thing about this verse as well, too, is notice that he had to be given this key. God is still in control. The devil has to be given any allowance of God to do anything. Think about Brother Job. There he was. Did you know that God even had to remind and to actually make sure that Satan took notice of Job? Because he had such a hedge around him, Satan didn't take notice of Job until God said, have you noticed? Have you seen? Have you realized? Have you paid attention to my servant Job? He took the hedge down for him to even look at, to take notice of. And then he took the hedge down further that he could be tested and tried in his body with his family and all of those things. God had a plan. So again, remember, in your life, in my life, Satan, by the grace of God, is defeated. He's defeated. You've been delivered. A lot of people don't understand that. You have been delivered. You really have. Just trust in the deliverance. Live in it. He's given it to you. It's done. It's finished. Do you believe that? I hope you do. That's the power of God. That's the power of that complete salvation we spoke about last Sunday. Let him completely save you from everything. And especially from yourself. From yourself. The last bastion is myself. I think you wrestle with self too, so you can't fool me. All right, God's a specialty of head cases. All right, okay. Number two, and he opened the bottomless pit. Okay, because God allowed him to open that bottomless pit. And there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And you see, there's no light in that darkness. Sin will be so rampant at that time. It's just dark. When you live a sinful life, when you're living and being controlled by sin, if sin is reigning in your life, you're really living in darkness. You are. Now, you can immediately, by the grace of God, because you have that life in you, you can step into the light. And in Him, there is no darkness. Isn't that wonderful? But see, at this time, there's going to be such a cloud of darkness because of the sin that is so rampant in the earth. Now, I want you to turn with me over to Revelation chapter 17, verse 8. I want us to read a little bit about this beast again. Now, this is the beast, the Antichrist. And the beast that thou sawest was is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Now, these that are wondering after this beast are obviously the ones that don't believe in Christ Jesus. They believe that this is the Messiah, whatever they're going to call him. They're just thinking, this is God. This guy, you know, he brought himself back. He's got that kind of power. When they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And then I'd like you to turn over to Revelation chapter 13. And I want to start in verse 3. Now, this is talking of that great beast here. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. This is again the wound that that beast is going to receive. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. Can you imagine that they're even going to worship the devil? Did you read in the paper where they had the Wiccan festival up there in Boulder? Two of them died. I wonder why. And the Wiccan is the witches, by the way. They were up there, and that's what that festival is, the festival of witches. And that's just like little precursors that people do that. We're a wicked folk without God. We just are. There's no good in you apart from the Lord. Now you get to that point, and I'm going to tell you something. God can do something with you. He can make you even unto the same image of His Son from glory to glory. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? It's just like this guy is just the greatest thing. Who could make war with him? He's so intelligent. He's so powerful. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. That's obviously against God, against Christ. We already see the blasphemies coming out. If you're a Christian today, you're an idiot, aren't you? And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's that 3.5 years we talked about. Know what we're dealing with here. So again, this is that time, that bottomless pit, it's opened up. This is the time of the Antichrist. This is the 250 days before the middle of the week. All right, number three. And there came out of the smoke locusts. This is the demons upon the earth. You'll find this in Joel 1 and 2 if you want another reference of that as well too. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. Now, these are the souls that are under the altar. Turn back with me to Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. This is that Thyatira. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? These are the ones that we're going to read here in a moment that are crying for death. They want to get out of there. They were saved after the innumerable multitude was taken up into heaven. God is a wonderful God. He is a very merciful God. He is a very gracious God. And He is still saving individuals, still calling out to them. Look at that wonderful angel that came through in the 13th verse. He said, woe, woe unto you. He's crying out to us. He's crying out to us tonight is to be looking, be ready. You don't want to even enter into the trumpets of sorrow, let alone the woe time. Well, you wouldn't even enter into that anyways. Worst case is you're going to be in the innumerable multitude. But that'll be a time of great sorrow for you if you ended up there. Wouldn't it? I know I would be awful sad to say, Lord, I missed it. Everything about everything. Can you imagine that? All the work, all the different things, maybe all the money you laid up for a house or a car or your kids to go to school. And yet you knew you missed it. I can't imagine that. I don't want to imagine it. It just says to be looking for His appearing. Don't let it scare you. Just let it wake you up. Say, Lord, prepare me. See, there's a rest. There's a rest to the people of God, isn't there? It's not being cocky. It's not being proud. It's not being that way, because that's not going to get it. It's just, I know Him. I know that His desire is toward me. And you know what? That's when I can rest in it. I know He's in love with me. I know He loves me. And I know He's got an eye on me, and He's got an eye for me, that He's never going to give, He's never going to let go of it. I'm in His hand. So now, by the grace of God, all I do is need to just trust Him, grow up in it, grow up into this Word, put it into my life by the grace of God, and let it effectually work in me. You see, that's the grace of God. There isn't anything that I can do, again, of myself to merit it. Brother John brought it out again on Sunday night. Even if I could just clip that pinky nail like Brother Hill used to talk about, if there was one little thing I could do, it would all fall apart, because I would bring in something of me into that kingdom. And it's all in His Son. It's all in His Son. So praise God that we can rest in that tonight. Hallelujah. All right. So again here. So this grass, this green earth, these are these saints that are on the that are in the earth at this time that have not been taken up. These are the last saints. These are those saints that are seen there in Thyatira. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. I think five's interesting there, because it is the number of grace. But they're going to be tormented. They're going to know that they missed something, that they should have been ready. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and they shall not find it. They shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Remember when we read that they cried for the rocks to fall upon them? They want to get out of here. It's so bad. And I think about how people and all these companies and everybody's so excited that they're trying to make you live for 200, 300 years now, aren't they? Do you see how anti-man is to what God is going to tell you they're going to do? All right. Listen to Him. Praise God. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses, prepared unto battle. So these locusts, again, these demons, they're infiltrating people. You can see people that are led of the devil. You can see people that are, there are people that are demon-possessed as well, too. And Brother Saul was even given an evil spirit, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. You get yourself away from God, you don't realize what you could pick up. You know, you got to be careful today anymore. You go to different countries. Poor brother and sister back there, they went on their 25th anniversary and they picked up something that made all of them sick back there and all of those different things, huh? Yeah. You just don't know what you can pick up out there when you get apart from God. And I'm not saying that was, but again, we need to be aware. It says to abstain from the very presence of evil. It's so prevalent in our society today. Don't put it in your life intentionally. You know, my heart hurts sometimes. I think about some of these different ones. I have to say it because it's on my heart. I think about some of these young people that get married and appreciate them. Thank God that they're getting married in the church and different things. But, you know, on that day, I appreciate a wholesome reception. I really do. I do. I think God wants you to do that. I think there's enough days in your life that you can do things of the world and have the world in there and drink and different things like that. I really do. I'm not trying to meddle. I guess it is kind of meddling. God wants goodness in your life. And it's a choice. It just is. Why not be a testimony for Him? Yeah. Alcohol destroys people so quickly. Just unbelievable. It's been on my heart. I think the Lord might give me a sermon someday on it. But I just, they've done studies and everything. And if they really tie it back, it kills more people than anything. From cars to their liver to their heart. to shootings, to all these different things. You can't read in the paper, most of the accidents you ever see is because of somebody that's been drinking. But yet they still allow it to go on, don't they? Love of money is the root of all evil. You can draw it right back. But yet we kind of partake in a lot of different things. God will deal with it, so I'll leave it alone. Well, you didn't realize who you got, did you? Who knows? Praise His name. All right. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. The demonicness gets into the national leaders. You say, how could demons get into national leaders? Well, they're already there. You think that guy from Iran, he's there. He's there, but they're going to be worse. Now, how could you be worse than getting up and publicly stating that Israel should be obliterated, not just there, but from the complete face of the earth, every Jew should be exterminated? I think I've heard that before. And you're going to hear it again. And then you're going to have somebody that actually acts on it. It's coming. It's coming. It's here. You know, just listen. Listen to the Word of God. And then, as He said, I'll give you these signs. I'll let you see what's happening in the world. And when you see these things come to pass, please look up. Please look up. I'm about ready to come. I'm going to wrap it all up. I'm going to lap it all up. Isn't that wonderful? And brothers and sisters, it's about here. It's about time. And praise God. I know some of us are tired. I know some of us are weary. I know some of us have been pressed out of measure in a lot of ways. We're fighting in family situations and body and all of those things. But I'm going to tell you, that's from glory to glory. Let Him bestow it upon you. Let Him give it to you by the grace of God. I do, by His grace, want to step into it. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. Now in Ezekiel 28, we went there last week to read about this. Satan was a beautiful creation. The most beautiful creation probably there ever has been. And it really has. I mean, he was just totally decked out, beautiful, a pipe organ within. Basically, he was the right-hand man, specifically made that way. And this is how this Antichrist, how these nations will come at it. They'll come at it as this beautiful thing. The hair speaks of beauty, but their teeth are going to be as the teeth of lions. All right? So ladies, don't get excited. I'm not, the Lord's not trying to get at you here, but just showing you that there's this beauty, there's this peace, there's this wonderful thing coming at you. And I'm going to tell you, though, it's going to bite you. It's going to bite you because you know what? It's not of the Lord. Now let that speak to you, young couples, or people getting interested in one another. All right. And they had breastplates, as it were, the breastplates of iron. And I thought about the breastplate that we have by the grace of God, that we can have, I should say, is the breastplate of righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? To know that by His grace, who covers me is the very righteousness of God and His wonderful Son. Praise His name. But this is the breastplate of iron. And the sound of their wings was the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. Now remember, and we're going to see different sightings that John has, that he sees these locusts and fire comes out of their mouth and all of these different things. You have to remember, this was John back there at the basically zero, or right around that time. About 50, 90-something A.D., I guess. Well, they didn't have airplanes. They didn't have the big cannons. They didn't have nuclear bombs. They didn't have pinpoint-seeking missiles and all of those different things. So this is how he had to explain it. You know, this was it. This is all he could do, is say, well, this looks like a giant locust. But it sounds, and it's got wings, yeah. But it sounds like these mighty horses and chariots, so you can see the battle. Amen. Amen. And you can just see all of this stuff coming out. And, you know, as you saw that destruction, did you see those pictures of just the destruction there that was in Lebanon? That was just a little thing. Did you see how terrible that was? It just takes it out. It's just rubble. It's nothing. And that was some beautiful parts in those cities there as well, too. But it was come to naught in just a moment. And that's just a little teeny country shooting off those things. And they didn't shoot off anything really that they had, believe it or not. Someday they're going to just lay all that stuff out there. And unless those days be shortened, there ain't going to be no flesh on the earth. Huh? Amen. See it all coming to pass? Praise His name. All right. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and the power was to hurt men 5 months. Again, been pressing upon that 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. And that angel of the bottomless pit is Satan, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. But in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. And this again is the devil. Now, one of the things I wanted to bring out as well, and Brother Copley brings it out, and I appreciate him doing that. When, before Christ Jesus went and led captivity captive, there was known as, in a sense, we called heaven at that time, was known as Abraham's bosom. It was also known as Upper Sheol. Sheol actually means hell. All right, and we had an upper and a lower Sheol at that time. So when people in, let's say, the Old Testament times, when Abraham, when Samuel, Ruth, Esther, when they passed away, they didn't go to heaven, they went to Upper Sheol. Okay, because they couldn't enter into heaven because the high priest wasn't there yet. High priest Jesus Christ, he had to enter in first, praise God, and he had to come, be born as a babe, live as a man, praise God, and be crucified on that cross for us. 3 days and three nights. All right? So, this lower hell, this pit, this abyss is lower Sheol. Now, the wonderful thing about upper Sheol is we understand, do you remember the story of Lazarus? When he was there and it had the figure him in heaven. And there was that rich young ruler that was in lower Sheol. And he looked up over there to Upper Sheol, and he says, "Man, I want to get over there. I'm being so tormented. Can you just touch your finger in the water there, man, and touch it to my tongue? I'm just so fiery." But he said, "Oh no, it's a gulf that no man can go in and out of. You're done. You're stuck. All right." Now that Upper Sheol, by the grace of God, when Jesus Christ, when he died, he went into the depths. He became sin for us who knew no sin. And he entered into Upper Sheol. Just like that thief on the cross. Remember what he said to him? "This day ye shall be with me in paradise." Now, a lot of people try to turn that around and say, what do they call that? Purgatory. Thank you, honey. So they call it purgatory. Well, there's no such thing as purgatory. Okay? There just isn't. To be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. Christ is at the right hand of God. If you're a Christian. Be absent from the body if you're a sinner, you're in lower Sheol. It's called hell. Very simple. One of two places. So at that time when that thief on the cross was there and Christ turned to him so graciously and he said, "Remember me," didn't he? And Christ turned to him, he says, "Oh, this day ye shall be with me in paradise." That paradise was Upper Sheol. Did you know that? Because that's exactly where Christ was going. That's where that man was going. That man couldn't have gone that day into heaven. He had to go to Upper Sheol. So he went there with Christ because that's where Christ was going. And then he took that captive, didn't he? He took Upper Sheol and he took it up to heaven. Praise God. And he entered there. And that's where he is today. So again, this pit that we're talking about here is this lower Sheol. It's where the souls of sinners go. The souls of those that have not accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. This is where they're going. Christ someday will take this hell and he will cast it and them that are in it into a lake of fire. It is a different thing. And they will have that torment for the rest of eternity. All right. Let's keep on going here. I believe that we can move somewhat through this. All right. So it says, "One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter." Now, the sixth trumpet is 100 days prior to the middle of the week. You say, "Well, how did we get there?" Well, we knew that the fifth trumpet was 250 days prior, was 150 days prior because it's 5 months. 5 months is 150 days. Okay, so we had 250 days. You take away 150, we have 100 days left. So this is 100 days prior to the middle of the week or the great tribulation. "And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God." We read about this golden altar before God in Revelation 7, 1 and 2. It's Christ Jesus. He is our altar. He's there before God. And you'll see him right there in his voice. "And he says to the six angels which had the trumpet, 'Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates.'" Now, do you remember from Revelation 7, 1, the four winds that were sitting at the four corners and they were held at bay? Let's read about them real quick one more time. This is chapter 7, verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the winds should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And they're not to blow on anything or hurt the earth until the servants of God are sealed in the forehead. So these are these same four spirits that are being held at bay. Now again, as we've read there in 2 Thessalonians, which is so sweet, he who hinders has got to be taken out of the way for this even to begin. And that's the bride of Christ. By his grace, maybe us sitting here tonight, as ones that are looking and longing for his appearing, we're holding up the show. So by the grace of God, you know, I say, Lord, come quickly. I don't want to say I'm ready, but by the grace of God, I'm by faith trusting him. He's preparing me. All right. So again, this is these same winds that are bound there at the great river Euphrates. Such a wonderful thing to know that it's all at the great river Euphrates is where they're fighting all this stuff right now. The great river Euphrates is right where this Armageddon is going to take place. It's all going to be right there. Our soldiers have been going across there in Iraq. It's been a wonderful thing to see if you know the Word of God. And the four angels were loosed and were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. This is preparing for Armageddon. Okay? They're preparing for Armageddon at this time. And the number of the horsemen, the number of this army were 200,000. That's 200 million. That's a lot of people that are getting ready for battle. Well, the thing that a lot of people will argue with, they'll say, oh, well, how could there be that many soldiers out there? Well, let me tell you something. When this, you know, when you're fighting countries, whether it was Vietnam, every one of those citizens became a soldier. Did you know that? They had their army, but I'm going to tell you, you talk to those soldiers of the United States that were over there fighting, everybody was an enemy. It really was. You didn't know who was what. You look in Iraq when we came into there, before everything was breaking loose, they had everybody with a gun. 200 million, it's nothing. We've got about 8 billion people out there right now. I think we're ready. I think we've got enough. I think they can all come down on that place right now. God has prepared us for this day. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. These are again the terrible weapons of hate. We already have these weapons. And again, throughout history, I hope we know, did you know we have never developed a weapon that we haven't used? Huh? Now we have some new ones, I guess, I think. Maybe we have used them. But, you know, whether it was the A-bomb on all of those different things, we used it. And you know what? They'll be used. Rest assured, they're going to be used. By these three was the third part of men killed by fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. Now, this is a third part of men that are killed with this army that's come down here. Now, people think that this is the Battle of Armageddon that takes out the third of this, and it's not. This is just the carnage before the war. A third part of mankind. When Brother Copley wrote this, this was 600 or 700 million people. Third part of man today would be 2-point-some billion people. Before the battle. Blood to the horse's bridle, it says. Did you know that? You see how that could be? I'm going to tell you, it's going to run that far. It's coming. For their power, for their power, the 19th verse, is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads. And with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not. So think about this. The rest of the men that were not killed by these things, they still repented not of their works, of their hands, that they should not worship devils and the idols of gold and the silver and the brass and the stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. See, they still deny God. These are the ones that did not come out of Thyatira and Laodicea. Because remember it says, oh, I'm increased, I'm rich, I'm good. I know, have no need of that. I'm caught into fornication. That's exactly what these people, they fornicated with other that. Basically the devil. They went into that type of a religion. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their theft. We're going to read in chapter 10, it says, and time shall be no more. Amen. Now a lot of people think, well, that's just when you get to heaven, there's no more time. No. there comes a time, and at the end of this sixth trumpet, remember those souls that were found under the altar? Those ones, those green, the trees that went in through and were tormented these 5 months. They're going to be taken up. And I should say they die. They don't get raptured that way. They actually have a death. But they're going to all be killed. They're going to be, their souls will be in heaven. It's over. And time shall be no more to get saved. There's coming a time when it's going to be cut off. And on that scene, we'll read in chapter 10, it's not the Lamb anymore. Oh no. It's feet of brass. It's judgment. It's power. And God is going to wrap it up. And His Son is going to come. And we're going to read about that time of that Armageddon. And it's so beautiful. Because see, that was just the third of men that were killed. That army hadn't been touched yet, had it? It hasn't. Uh-uh. But you know what? Well, I'll give you a little precursor, I think. I want to read it. I hope you'll bear with me here. I just love it here. It's in the 19th chapter. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Yes, 17th verse. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. There's going to be a supper. That ye may eat the flesh of the kings, and the flesh of the captains, and the flesh of the mighty men, and the flesh of the horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. This is the 200 million. You see, this is a different, this is it. This is wrapping it up. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him. With which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image, these both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant, or those remaining soldiers and kings and captains, were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, with the sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. The only thing I didn't give you, but was in back in that 14th verse, the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses clothed in fine linen. By the grace of God, you'll be there. Isn't that neat? And I always like to be on the winning team, especially in this case. Praise God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, again for your word. Thank you again for the love. And Lord, just deal with hearts. Lord, just keep encouraging us to press on. Don't let us grow weary, Lord God. Don't let us draw back. Lord, by your grace, you've caused us to say, I will go. Help us to run that course with joy. Help us to finish it. Help us to just know that, as Brother Paul said, there'll be a crown for us as well. Give us the vision. Thank you again for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.